My dad and my uncle Pat and I once had a debate about what the saddest song ever written was in popular music. And they both argued for a certain song by James Taylor, which is a good selection. But I contend, and I still do, that Tears in Heaven by Eric Clapton is one of the saddest songs ever written. Now, Clapton originally wrote this song for a movie soundtrack, but the inspiration behind it is quite heart-wrenching. He was inspired to write this song when his son, who was 4 years old at the time, fell out of a window on a 53rd-story building and plummeted to his death. And just a terrible, tragic end to a young life. And Clapton's lyrics in the song are so sad, and they're full of doubt and sorrow and pain. And I imagine that as he wrote some of the words, that people were telling him some of the things that you might hear at a funeral or when you're going through a hard time, like time will heal all wounds. But then listen to this lyric that he writes. Time can bring you down. Time can bend your knees. Time can break your heart. Have you begging, please? You can hear him begging that the pain that he's going through and the suffering would be done. He wants it to be done, but time doesn't appear to be healing his wounds. Clapton at this time was going through what I would call a great ordeal, a great time of suffering and pain. In this passage from Revelation, we get this beautiful picture of the heavenly throne room and the heavenly courts as the Apostle John is blessed with this vision along with many other visions. But in this one, he sees a crowd of people that he says is just too much to be numbered. You can't, it's just vast. And this crowd has people from every race, every language, every nation as part of it. The whole world is represented, and this crowd is standing before the throne of God and of Jesus the Lamb, the Son of God. And as John is standing there, an elder of the court of heaven comes and tells John that this crowd of people are those who have come out of the great ordeal. Now, if you're used to an older translation of your scripture, what you'll remember that word is the great tribulation. This crowd has come out of the great tribulation, and this great ordeal, this great time of suffering and pain is a specific time. It's a specific season, and we don't know when. Jesus gives us hints about what this time will look like, and he tells us that this great time of evil and suffering will come before the Son of Man returns, before Jesus comes and returns again to complete everything. But the language in Revelation is also a little bit generic. And so not only does it talk about a specific great ordeal, a specific time of trial and suffering and pain, but it talks about it in a way in which it allows us to think of it generally too. A general event for each and every believer. Because while we might not be living or come to live during that time of the great ordeal, of the great tribulation, well, we are certainly capable of experiencing times of suffering, the times that we would call a great ordeal, a great tribulation, while we live on this earth. We can experience trials that are great and feel like they're crushing while we are here on this world. I'm certain that Eric Clapton had tears in his eyes as he wrote Tears in heaven, as he described the feelings he was going through when his son so tragically died. I'm sure he would talk about it as being a great ordeal, a great time of trial and being tested, a time where the pain was so crushing that he couldn't see beyond that day. I'm certain also that many of you have gone through similar times. A time that you would describe as being a great ordeal. An event that caused you so much suffering and pain and turmoil that you couldn't see the next day through your tears. And if you haven't gone through something like that yet, Scripture assures us that you probably will. Scripture assumes that trials and tribulations, that ordeals, that times of testing will happen to the believer. And at times these pains will be so great that you'll shed tears. Even if you're a stoic, manly German like myself, who has probably never cried a day in his life, there will be a time where you will shed tears, because we all walk through this valley of the shadow of death. Perhaps that ordeal will be when you experiencing the suffering of others, when those around you, your loved ones, your family, your friends, are going through some real suffering. And it'll cause you to wonder, and your faith will be tested. As you shed your tears, there will be doubt mingled with them, and as you watch a loved one lose their memory, or someone you know become hollowed out by chemotherapy, or as depression changes a person you thought you knew into somebody else. Or perhaps your trial will come when you yourself suffer some kind of illness, something that blindsides you, comes out of nowhere. And the resolve of your faith and your belief in God's goodness will come into question. Your fear will trickle down your cheeks as you face your own mortality. As you look and see that the grave is more imminent than you ever thought. Then there's those times where we suffer through things that pride and even shame don't allow us to normally talk about, when we suffer through things like loneliness or things like depression, where you maybe are hiding your tears, but your heart cries hard every day as you wonder and you question about God's love and His presence. And of course, we can't forget the tears we shed over our own sin and the things that we do, the things that cause us to be disgusted about ourselves, to have regret as we wonder behind our tears whether God could possibly love someone like me. But to this, we would be reminded of two things. First, is that Jesus also wept. And he wept for you and I. When his friend Lazarus passed away and he saw a great crowd around him weeping and moaning at the death of their loved one, Jesus wept. He wept for the sorrow of his creation that has to go through such pain and struggles and suffering. But what is more than that is that Jesus died. We have this hymn in our red praise hymnal that speaks to this. And in the chorus of that hymn, we get words that Jesus says, in the hymn anyway. And Jesus says, "I felt every teardrop when in darkness you cried. And I strove to remind you that for those tears I died. For all that would cause you heartache and pain, Jesus died. For every bit of suffering and sorrow that you feel and sleepless nights caused by that suffering, Jesus died. When your faith is tested and sorrow weighs upon you and you feel like you're just not strong enough, we are reminded to look to the font where you were baptized, where Christ claimed you, where he washed you white in the water, in the word, where his blood cleanses you, that blood that was spilt on the cross because he died for you. This passage from Revelation reminds us of that very thing. We look at it again and we look at the crowd that is standing before the throne of God and the Lamb. And what we are reminded of, it, Scripture doesn't point out the strength of the crowd. They're not standing before the throne wearing, you know, the Live Strong bracelets. They're standing before the throne because of the blood of Jesus. Scripture tells us, John recounts this vision saying that they came out of the great ordeal because their robes were washed white by the blood of Jesus, the Lamb. They are made pure and white by Christ and his death for them. And the same Holy Spirit that resides in them and saw them through the trials, the tribulations, the great ordeal that they went through to come to the throne of God is the same Spirit that lives in you and will see you through your suffering. Now, I don't know what kind of faith Eric Clapton has, but I think there's one lyric in his song that he got right, and it's the main kind of chorus part. He says, "Beyond the door, there's peace, I'm sure. And I know there'll be no more tears in heaven." As we read these last few verses of this passage from Revelation, verses 15 to 17, I want you to picture yourself as standing amongst that great crowd of saints. To be standing there in the throne room with your robe washed white, made clean and purified simply and purely by the blood of Christ. And to hear this word spoken for you, because it's God's word of protection over you now as you go through this life, and it's God's promised word of protection over your whole being in this glorious future that we hear. Because you are washed by the Lamb, you are before the throne of God and worship him day and night within his temple. And the one who is seated on the throne will shelter you. You will hunger no more and thirst no more. The sun will not strike you, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne is your shepherd. And he guides you to springs of water of life. And God will wipe away every tear from your eyes. Let us pray. O gracious Lord, you have given us, through the gift of John, the beloved vision of a glorious future. But as we await that glorious day, we walk through the trials and tribulations, the ordeals of life. Protect us, O Lord. Shepherd us. Guide us. See us to that great and glorious day when we will join the saints triumphant and give our praises before your throne. We pray this in your name. Amen.